right. Oh. How do we want to...
Okay, I gave a lot of thought to this, John, because okay. I was like, I cannot be sitting here for like 2 hours with you going over four episodes worth of content. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So what I determined, at least for my brain and how it works, is that the best way to do this is going to be to go through like a who's who.
Okay.
And so we can just talk about the characters, and then as we introduce them, we can discuss the shenanigans that they're involved in.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
Going to be some overlap, but I think that'll help guide the conversation in a productive way.
I also think that it'll help me remember who people are, because yes. names are not going to be good for me.
No, and I shall say that I had to go on to the internet to like confirm the names of some people, because we deal a lot in titles and not yes. in names. And that confused me a lot from the get-go. Like, I didn't even know what Simon's name was, I think, for the whole first episode. And I was like, I can't just keep calling him the Duke in my notes. That's ridiculous.
Oh, that's all I called him was the Duke. I'm like, oh, it's the Duke.
Yeah, the Duke again. I'll just call you Sir the Duke. So, yes, I think that's how we should go about it. I took handwritten notes this time.
Wow. Oh, those are like, really fancy neatness. Organized.
And then I have really great, I'll read you my parentheses comments to remind me, because this is the main cast of people. Mm-hmm. And then I put ancillary characters down here, and in parentheses, like next to Cressida, I have resident bitch. So like, just to Fair. Help us describe them succinctly. So anyway, this is I Hate It, Let's Watch It. We are, I'm not even letting us introduce ourselves. I'm so excited. No.
We're Hate It, Let's Watch It. That's it. That's it. We don't have names.
We're talking about Bridgerton. We don't care who we are. This is a Hate It, Let's Watch It. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Dawn.
And we're talking about Bridgerton.
Bridgerton.
And the way that we're doing this, if you have not seen our posts or heard us discuss it on our most recent episode, we are covering the first two seasons in two parts per season. So tonight we are discussing Bridgerton season one, part one, which is episodes 1-4. And then next week, it will be season one, episodes 5-8. And then we'll do the same thing with season two. And that will bring us to the premiere of season three, episode one.
Which is getting Bridgerton. Some great, I guess their premiere was just a few nights ago.
Oh, was it? The buzz is good.
The buzz is good. And we'll obviously go back to it, because I purposely have been saving all the posts I see on Twitter, because we obviously can't talk about
later.
It. Yeah, like, I mean, it's nothing, it's not giving anything away, but season three primarily revolves around Penelope and I think it's Colin. Colin. Mm-hmm. So it's just all of their red carpet interviews and stuff like that, and they're pretty juicy, so I'm like, all right, we'll save this. But yeah, so it's kind of cool that we are covering it right as the premiere for three is around the corner. Yes.
So whether you are joining us because you've already watched season one or two, one and two, and you want a little recap leading into season three without having to rewatch the whole thing, or if you've never seen Bridgerton, not a single episode, and you want to just kind of be in the know what's going on, be able to participate in all the water cooler conversation about Bridgerton season three, we're your girls. We got you.
Yeah.
We're doing this for you.
We're doing this for Lisa, us. Actually.
No.
Not going to lie.
I do kind of want to know what's going on here. So let's just dive.
Yeah, right, you have a layout, so I'm following you.
Yeah, okay. So my first question, though, I would like to start with a question.
Okay.
Is why is this series called Bridgerton? Because in my brain, I think I thought that Bridgerton was the place.
Same.
That they all lived, a fictional town in England.
Would make more sense. Because you are involving several families that are prominent. So why only their family gets the title for the show?
And why not, like, the Bridgertons? It's just Bridgerton.
Right.
It's a singular name.
Right, which gives off town.
I don't...
Yeah, I agree with you, 100%.
I'm glad we're on the same page, because
this movie,
this show, I mean, I just spent 4 hours.
Well, yeah, it felt like a movie the way I watched it, too.
It's been a journey. So it takes place, or allegedly takes place, in 1800s London.
Yeah.
and just my general understanding of London in this time period is not quite as happy, I guess maybe is a good word for it. People are dressed in these beautiful, vibrant colors. They're going to parties all the time. There isn't too much time spent on poverty and class relations. And it feels like 1800s Europe was not a fun place to be, is my historical understanding.
Right. They are making it seem like it is the place to be. It's yeah. it's a little happening for my taste. Like, honestly, the entire time I'm like, I would do horribly during this time.
Exhausting. Mm-hmm. It is exhausting to live in this time period if you are existing in the Bridgerton universe, because it's party after party after party.
You're constantly showing face. I'd be like, excuse Ridiculous. Me, I need a nap.
Exactly. And then like studying the pianoforte and poetry and whatever. It's just like, no, I just want to exist, please.
And having to be set up, which is even more revolting.
Yeah, I know. And we can get into that definitely more, but I think that's really the most realistic part. But it makes me feel like Bridgerton is Jane Austen novels for Gen Z.
Yeah.
It's like Gossip Girl and Pride and Prejudice had a baby.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, I don't know, as somebody who spent a lot of time in college studying Jane Austen, it's just a little bit like, oh, what are we doing here?
Yeah, there's a lot of cringe.
It's an interesting take on the dynamics, the social dynamics of the time.
Of the time. I mean, given that we are saying that it probably, you know, that's not how it really went, probably, you know, like...
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah. So
I'm pretty comfortable saying that.
Some of the things I just felt kind of cringe.
Yes, for sure. So let's start with the Bridgertons, because they are our titular characters, I guess.
Yep.
So we have parents. I had to look up dad's name because I don't think it's ever been said, but it is Edmund.
Okay.
Edmund and Violet, and they have eight children, which is too many children. And then they've also decided to name them alphabetically.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Oh, because Lady Whistledown comments on it in one of her first pamphlets about like how it's kind of tacky that they did that.
Yeah, no, I did not pick up on that.
Well, maybe it'll help you keep track of the characters better.
Hopefully.
It's not going to help me, honestly, because I was just struggling to get names for all of them. And I definitely did not know some of them until I literally looked them up. So... Number one, eldest leader of the household at this point, especially given their father's death, is Antony. So I'm just going to go through them quickly, and then we'll go back to Antony. So Antony is first, then Benedict, then Colin, Daphne, Eloise, Francesca, Gregory, and Hyacinth. Those are the eight Bridgertons.
Yep.
And we will discuss some of them more than others.
Yeah.
So Antony. Antony is... annoying.
A cock block.
A is for Antony, A is for annoying.
Right, fair enough.
He's taking his duties as recent inheritance of the household name a little bit too seriously.
Yep.
And also just incorrectly.
Yeah, I mean, he is very, like, too involved in this whole thing, I feel. I get having to kind of guide here and there. I understand that a little bit, but... in terms of the efforts he's making, it's just, ugh. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't like how involved he is in this.
No, and it gets a little bit better, I think. He starts off very, very insufferable, and I was like, oh. And I know, I think season two is about him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I hope I can come around to thinking this guy is not such a tool by then. But he seems to really want to do a good job filling his father's shoes.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really have the life experience to understand how to do that. And I do think his mother calls him out really well at one point about how he's just completely biffing this.
Yep, that was a great, yeah, that was a great scene when she kind of told him off.
I know, I loved that. Yeah, I was like, give it to him, he needs to fucking hear this. She's like, from now on, I'm going to be doing this and you can just sit the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's also kind of flouting the rest of his duties as the head of household because he doesn't want to get married. He's having a really good time banging Sienna.
He's a little whore. I'm not even going to lie.
Well, we only see him bang this one.
Another one?
No, I'm pretty sure it's just her.
Okay, I could have sworn there was another one in like some type of retaliation or proving of something. I could have sworn he was boning.
No, I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
Listen, with all of the characters, I could be wrong. Yes, it could be somebody else.
Sienna looks different from scene to scene.
Yes.
And then at one point I was like, oh, okay, so she's got like this really nice mole on her cheek. It just gives her such character. Like, I love it. Mm-hmm. But then the next time we saw her, she was performing at a ball or something and she had it covered up. So then when like Anthony is eye fucking her from the floor, I'm like, who's this lady? And then I'm like, oh, I think we only know one opera singer, so it must be
Sienna. It must be her. Yeah, no, definitely from the
but
first.
But where is her mole?
Yeah, the first scene when was the first scene up against a tree?
Yes, yeah. That is our introduction to Anthony and to Sienna.
Yeah, that looked uncomfortable. Oof.
Yes, and he's always got his dad's pocket watch on him. Again, I guess like a nice little tribute to his dad, but like, is he just holding that the whole time? He's fucking her against the tree.
He's talented, man. But yeah, so from that to like the next scene when he like goes to her and it's after they bone, like, and they pan to her in the bed or whatever, like, yeah, she looks different in almost every scene.
Yeah, so it's hard to keep track of her, I feel. But again, she's like the only opera singer we really know and are acquainted with. And I'm pretty sure she's the only girl he is fucking because it does seem like he has feelings for her.
Yeah,
he's fighting some type of way. Like, I don't think he loves her because I feel like...
Really?
Well, she has pointed it out repeatedly that he's only with her to escape the pressures and the expectations of his real life. Mm. And maybe not necessarily because he wants to spend time with her. And even towards the end where he like might die in this duel that we will get to, he's like, well, either I'm dead or I'm free of my obligations and we can just leave. But I do feel like that was really like a, I've got nothing left, so like,
which is such a bitch thing to say.
Yes. It's awful. this is rude.
You started it, so you didn't have to do this, you fucking idiot, but yeah. Whatever.
I know, stupid. So I have like mixed feelings on Sienna too, because I do think she is in love with Anthony, but she is also kind of using him in a way because she is damaged goods, apparently. She's trying to make it on her own and she really needs like a sugar daddy.
Right.
To help her do that. And so he has been paying for her apartment, for, I'm assuming, food and luxury items and whatever. So, you know, she needs a man for that reason. So yeah. It's hard to trust her fully and what her intentions are, but fine. So that's some context for Anthony. Do you have anything else you want to add on Anthony? Well, I'm sure we'll bring him back into the fold. He's besties with Simon. Duke of Hastings. They went to university together and he knows that Simon is a rake and not interested in general courtly mannered life.
Yeah, that's not his jam. The only thing I could say right off the bat, I've suddenly become attracted to sideburns. Just a
they're
little bit.
They're aggressive.
They're aggressive, but there are some shots of him and I'm like, I can make this work.
They are isosceles triangle sideburns too. Like they're
I haven't heard the term isosceles triangle in 20 something years.
Wow. Yeah, well, you live with a math teacher sometimes. These things just come through. So anyway, moving on to Benedict. So Benedict kind of lays low in the first couple of episodes to the point where I did not know his name or who he was really.
Same.
And it finally comes to light.
He's an artiste, right?
Yes. He has a little sketchbook that he likes to sketch in, but he's very much a closeted artist, and I suspect perhaps a closeted something else.
Might be. But
he and Eloise kind of have a nice brother-sister relationship because she's interested in the arts and writing, and she gets frustrated with him that he's not using his privilege as a man to, you know, to just pursue his dreams in a way that she can as a woman.
Right.
So Benedict kind of steps in it when he insults a local artist to his face at some like gallery showing. And Lady Danbury leads him into it, and she's great, so we can talk
about her. Oh, I cannot wait to talk about her, because
I love her.
She's my hero.
Yes. But he kind of now starts this relationship with this guy, Harry Granville.
Thank you.
Who is, I guess, a more established... I know. I did not.
Put a gun to my head and ask me his name, because I would have been gone. Gone.
I would not have guessed Harry either. Like, that would not have been my first guess.
No.
He's a local artist of general talent, I guess, depending on who you ask. And he invites Benedict to come to his house and view some of his other paintings, his personal paintings. And also he had like a live nude art.
It was kind of like a
session going on.
What is it? The paint nights? Like he kind of had like a paint night, but there were nude
we
models.
Yeah.
I just wrote booby drawings.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's what they were doing. Boobies.
I guess that is what they were doing. And there's two people there, two artists who were working on the sketching, and they're kind of like debating politics and whatever. It's just, it feels like a really boho.
Yeah, I was going to say situation. It was a very chill vibe, which is not what he's used to. So you right. saw like when he yeah. sat down, he was a little uneasy about what he was doing, but like everybody else seemed very like welcoming.
Right. Yeah. Just take a stab at it. Like, nobody's judging you. And I think Harry even says it. He's like, you're free to be yourself mm-hmm. here, which is what made me feel like Harry's gay. And
yeah, like, there's a little
Benedict
hint there.
Benedict is probably gay. So I think we're going to see more of that going forward. I like that for him. I think they have a really nice meet cute.
Yeah.
And potentially some of the best chemistry of the couples that we're seeing.
And given in Shonda Rhimes's defense, I have a feeling that you're right. I mean, just given her writing in all of her other shows, she's going to bring all kinds of diversity into this time period, which will be interesting to see.
Yeah. I mean, I love DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, love all of these things that are happening in current media outlets. But I think, and there was a moment at some point where Lady Danbury is talking to Simon about how racial
yes.
dynamics changed once the king married a yep. black woman. And I just thought that was weird because I kind of thought and I had the vibe that there were no racial tensions.
They didn't give
whatsoever.
Off that at all.
No, which meant that we just weren't going to be addressing it. That this was just a society where everybody was equal and there was never even a conversation about skin color. So I was like a little taken aback by that because I was like, wait a minute. I thought we just didn't see color in Bridgerton, or I guess we do.
Right, because even going back, when we get the flashback with Simon and his how he grows up. Yeah, I mean, they're primarily black, so I didn't think there was going to be any issues whatsoever.
No, and you would
this
think...
This was just how things were.
Yeah, because it sounds like this marriage must have been recent within the past 30 years or so,
mm-hmm.
in which case there would probably still be some tension with certain people who didn't believe that it was actually okay for black people to be in positions of authority and power like that. So I don't know. I'm not sure what she's going to do with the homosexual content, if that's going to also be frowned upon, but maybe it seems like nobody is openly gay at this point.
No,
so
not yet.
We'll kind of see where that goes. I have a feeling it's going to be like a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, I do feel like some of these names and some of these concepts remind me a lot of Riverdale. I don't know
oh,
if you
God.
Felt that way too.
Well,
but
yeah, I mean...
Cressida Cowper, first of all, like her name, and then all of the P's and the Featheringtons, like Prudence, Philippa, Penelope. I'm just like, stop it.
Hate that Featherington has so many syllables.
It is such a bitch to write out in my notes.
Why, to say it too, because I just think it's like Featherton. Like, we don't have to do the ing part.
And everybody else has such a reasonable last name. It's like Danbury, Bassett, Cowper, Burbrook. Like, they're all two syllables, and the Featheringtons
right.
are like... Bleh, 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 bleh.
Well, I just feel like that goes with their
extra,
annoyingness.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Okay, so that's Benedict. Colin, we kind of touched on briefly. He
yeah.
and Penelope Featherington are pretty good friends.
Yep.
And Penelope is clearly obsessed with him and is just pining away for this guy who doesn't seem to really know that she is, maybe, question mark.
I thought there was one part, though, where he kind of gave a look to her and I was like, oh, are they on the same page? Yeah. But then it was slight. It was slight.
It's so hard to tell. And because he does stand up for her at that one point where Cressida comes over and is like, oh, I want to dance with Colin. And then she spills her drink on Penelope.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, fuck you. I'm going to dance with Penelope. Bye. He cares about her. And I don't know. That seemed to me a bigger gesture than just friendship. But
right.
But then he gets really obsessed with Marina Thompson, who I guess we can, should we get to her now? Yes. I have her under the Featheringtons, but also like she.
But this is kind of her main, like.
Her main shit.
For now, I mean for now, because she's kind of just pushed away into a room for most of the episode.
Yeah, let's hold off on her. Let's all right, finish the Bridgertons and then we'll go over to the Featheringtons and then we'll just be miserable. Because we can blow through. I'm going to skip Daphne because I want to come back to her.
That's like, a main,
at the
end
of the Bridgertons. Yeah. So I said Bridgertons.
You did say Bridgertons.
I just want to add more syllables now. Okay, so skipping Daphne for the moment. Eloise is the next oldest girl. She is not about the marriage scene, the kids scene. She wants to be an independent woman. She's very much the Jo March of Little Women in this show. I like her. I think she's like
so a little, far she's my favorite.
I think she's a little bit much at times, but I think she's a really great actress.
Yes.
And I like her sass. She's just very sassy.
I like her sass. I like her take on things.
Yes.
And I do like her friendship with Penelope, too. I think it's really cute how, like, they gossip together. And
yeah.
But you could tell that they have their, they're going to have their differences, which is a little upsetting. But
right. Yeah, because Penelope obviously wants to pursue that path in life of getting married and having kids and whatever. And Eloise just, she's like the extreme feminist where it's just like the only path is to have an independent life and not need a man. But that's
right.
Not the case for everybody. So I think Eloise is young enough that we can excuse her and say, okay, well, she's still learning. But
that's true.
She likes to write, so she's very focused on her career. She becomes obsessed with Lady Whistledown, whom we haven't mentioned really to this point.
No, and I love her. I also, like, I immediately was like, is this Gossip Girl of the 19th century? Because literally she might just at the end be like, XOXO.
Lady Whistledown. She does kind of hold the show together. She writes this pamphlet about all of the socialites and what they're up to, yada yada.
She keeps us, I mean, honestly, I prefer listening to her recaps, kind of. Like, it kind of gets me more in the, like, if I miss something, she covers it, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Right. Okay, thank you for the summary. The summary of the catch-up. But everyone is wondering who this person is, and Eloise specifically is like, she is my queen, because she is clearly like a single woman, single independent lady, and she's making all this money off of these gossip pamphlets. How do I become this lady? And do we think that her identity is ever going to be revealed within the series, or is she just always sort of like an omniscient narrator?
I'm gonna go with she's gonna stay ominous, because I don't know, because I feel like that's part of the show. Just them,
I mean, I think
loving,
so too.
Picking up the pamphlet, being excited to read it, wanting to know if they're in it. Like, I think knowing who's doing it would just ruin that whole thing.
Right.
So.
Definitely. So it's not Dan Humphrey is what we're saying here.
Correct.
Okay. If we see Penn Badgley sniffing around in the shadows.
That would be fucking hilarious. If
Joe
Goldberg just pops up.
I
mean, he already has the look, kind of. So
I think he could really pull it off. But anyway, so she's obsessed with figuring out Lady Whistledown, and this is where her and Penelope kind of butt heads, because Penelope is dealing with her unrequited love with Colin, and she doesn't think Eloise is listening or really understands, which is a fair point. I think they will reconcile once Penelope opens up about like why she is so
upset. Just very down about love right now. She doesn't know.
Yeah, that's totally fair. So good on Eloise.
Yeah, good on Eloise.
Okay. So we can kind of blow through these last three because we don't know them.
We barely see them.
Francesca does not even exist. Apparently, when I was looking at the wiki, they excuse her absence in like a one-line sentence where they're like, she's with Aunt Winnie studying something, I think the pianoforte, for like the entire summer. So Francesca is not even around.
Will we ever see her?
I assume that we will, but okay. She's just not there.
I'm like,
right,
why
now
make a character that we'll never see?
Because they just needed an F. Sense. So
they didn't need an F.
Yes, they did.
They could have stopped. They could have stopped at.
Stop it.
Six.
Stop trying to make sense. Okay, so then after Francesca is Gregory, who, again, don't know who this child is. And then Hyacinth is the last, and she is the most annoying one. She's the one running around being like, where's the Duke? Where's the Prince? You know, what are you doing?
Very vocal. Tell me this.
Like, oh, like, child, please. So I hope she gets older and less annoying.
Because I miss this. What's the age range from oldest to youngest?
I don't know, and they haven't told us, and I haven't really looked. I'm trying to be very sparse in my research because I really don't want to see any spoilers.
Yeah.
So I don't know how old Antony is, and I don't know how old Hyacinth is. If I had to guess by the actress, 10. Hyacinth is probably
10 or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And I don't know about Antony because, like,
tell us how old Daphne is?
No. And they say that, like, she's old enough to, like, start her season or whatever. But, like, what does that mean?
I'm going with, like, 15.
Yeah. In the 1800s, probably. That could be, like, 14, 15, 16. We don't know.
So, we don't know. Okay.
So let's talk about Daphne now. So Daphne is the oldest girl in the family, and this is like her presentation moment to society.
I find this so fucking funny. This whole elaborate thing of the marriage mart, if you will.
Yes.
That's what it's called. A marriage mart. Well, like H Mart down the block. Marriage
that's mart. Exactly what it is. Everybody's going to market to see what's on sale and whether or not they can afford it. So she's like presented to the queen initially, who kind of does this like cursory, like, yeah, okay, whatever. But for Daphne, she points her out, singles her out as the incomparable of the season. And I guess this means that she expects the best match to be made with Daphne. That probably would have happened, except Antony is like busy cock blocking every single man who comes up to her.
It's the worst.
He sucks. And sometimes he's right, because there's one guy, he's like, oh, he has gambling debts. Like, he's not good for this reason, that reason, the other
right.
thing.
It's good to have this info, no doubt, but mm-hmm. his reasonings for others gets very just frustrating and...
Right, like, let her suss it out, you know? Like,
she should have a say. Like, I understand the whole, like, women barely have rights at this time, but it's the person she's gonna marry and have to bone and give children to, and it's like, can she be at least attracted to them? That's my biggest thing. Could I at least be attracted to this man?
I mean, I don't think... See, this is the thing where I felt like we should have been seeing more of the Jane Austen-style matchmaking, where it was literally not about romantic interest, even amiable interest. It was just, can this person support my daughter, sister, whatever. It should have been a money match, especially because they've lost the patriarch of their family. They don't seem to be struggling financially, which is, like, weird to me.
Yeah, like, that doesn't really even get brought up.
No, it's very strange for the time period, especially because women were really not allowed to have control over finances. And so I guess maybe Antony has taken over that role, but it's a little bit confusing what the socioeconomic politics are of the time.
Yeah, I mean, when we get to the Featheringtons, men really should not be taking care of finances, but
no, should never be trusted. So I think there is like a point at which Antony realizes he's really biffing it on this, but he overcorrects in the other direction, because there's this one suitor that comes along, Nigel Burbrook, and
he looks like a Nigel.
He absolutely does. He is so skeezy. And Antony recognizes, all right, he's a decent dude. He's honest. He doesn't have any debts.
He's good on paper.
Yeah, he looks great on paper. And honestly, that is how marriages were typically arranged back in this time period, especially if he had like a lot of money or something. It would just be like, okay, done deal. You're going to go marry this guy. And obviously, he's gross. So Daphne doesn't love this plan. But also complicating it is the fact that he kind of accosts her in the dark at a party.
Yeah.
and she punches him in the face and knocks him out.
Rightfully so.
Yes. And guess who happens to witness the whole thing? Ah, it's the Duke of Hastings.
It's the Duke.
Whom we only know as the Duke at this point. Because right. He's back in town after his father passed away to square up affairs or whatever. So he happens to come across her in this situation. She's panicking because she's like, oh, fuck, I'm out on the dark walk, which I assume is where people go to hook up.
Yeah.
And she's like, if anybody knows that I was here or that I punched this guy in the face, I will be completely ruined, blah, blah, blah. And Simon's like, well, I don't know. Maybe you and I can help each other out here. Let's just pretend that we are interested in one another, because all of the mamas, which I don't really love.
Hate it.
Yeah.
I wrote that down. I'm like, why can't they just call them mother? I would rather them call them mother.
Yeah.
Then mama. I don't like mama.
I know. It's weird.
They're or papa. No.
They're English. Like, it's, what are you doing?
Mama.
So he wants to get the mamas off his back, because once he came back to town, he was obviously grade A meat for them to marry their children off to. And obviously Daphne is disappointing everybody by not having enough suitors, because Antony keeps scaring them away. So she agrees to this plan because she figures, hey, if I am with this guy, I'm going to look super, super eligible and fuckable, because obviously this man would not be interested in me if I were not. And he gets to look like a potentially committed suitor. So they agree to this plan. Nothing could go wrong.
No, of course not.
So Simon, let's get into Simon a little bit, because he is an interesting person. He's his father's only son, from my understanding.
Yeah.
His mother died in childbirth.
So sad. That was a sad episode. The scene was
awful. I didn't like it. It made me feel sad.
Icky. Yeah, it was very sad. Like, just from the dad just not giving a shit that the wife was giving birth. He was just, you know, like, again, I get those times. You want the son, you need the heir, yeah, the whole thing.
But it was different. It was different. He was only fixated on this child being the son that he could pass the family name down to.
That's and really all that mattered.
And yeah, he takes the baby away as soon as he's born. His mother doesn't even get to hold him before she dies from blood loss.
She dies. Yep.
So upsetting. So Lady Danbury is this woman's bestie. They are BFFs. So she is there at the birth and, you know, is like annoyed that his dad is being such a tool about it. But then it seems like she's not invited around for a little while, because the next time we have a flashback for Simon's past, he's like 4 or 5 years old.
He's
learning his letters and everything. And his dad's like, why doesn't he talk? I need him to talk. He's going to be leading the estate at some point and he needs to talk. And it turns out that Simon has a stammer, and that's why he doesn't want to speak. He has no confidence. And his dad does not help with that. He's like, well.
No, calls him a fucking idiot, basically. Yeah.
He's like, you're an imbecile and I disown you. I have no son. I have nothing. And he just like storms out and I guess never speaks to him again.
Not until a few years later.
It's not even clear to me where he sends him, because it seems like there's like a maid or a servant who is teaching him how to read and whatnot.
Right.
And she is still with him in a few years when Lady Danbury comes to visit. And she's like, you're not dead, because I guess his dad's just been telling everyone that he's dead.
So messed up.
But then hiding this kid away somewhere. Like, what is happening?
Just because he has a speech impediment.
Seriously. Like, what the fuck? Oh, it's like the king's speech, but...
Yes.
But worse. So Lady Danbury is, like, horrified to see that this is happening. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to take you under my wing. I'm going to educate the shit out of you. You're going to be fine. So she does that, and then she brings him back to see his dad at some point. And he talks to him very eloquently. Yeah. He doesn't really stammer. When he gets nervous, he clams up a little bit. But he's fine. Like, he's fine. Yeah. But his dad just doubles down on it and is like, nah, fuck you. You're my biggest disappointment. I don't want anything.
It's the saddest. It's so sad. bad.
I don't know how you deal with that kind of rejection as a child, honestly. And one of the most frustrating things about watching this show for me is that when we watch Riverdale, when we watch Emily in Paris, when we watch anything that we watch typically, therapy's always an option. And I'm always like, why aren't these people in therapy? But in this time period, therapy was not an option. So these people are just fucked three ways towards the weekend, and there's nothing they can do about it. So Simon has elevated himself to a point of high education and charisma, and he returns to his dad on his deathbed. And
this was great. This was an amazing scene.
And his dad's like, oh, son, I'm so proud.
Fuck off.
You've done so well. And he's just like, yeah, no thanks to you, dickhead. So Simon basically swears an oath. He's like, I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have children. Your whole bloodline is going to die
with me.
And that is my fucking revenge against your whole bullshit nonsense.
Yep. And as the dad, I mean, we're talking last breath here. The guy can't speak. And Simon says to him,
did I stutter? He should have.
He should have.
He should have.
He should have said that. But he's like, speak, you fucking monster. And it was like, yes, fucking give it right back to him. Like, oh, like it was that, like, these are the last words your dad's going to hear you say. And I was kind of for it.
Yeah, it was great. However, this is the excuse that Simon is using for never seriously pursuing a wife.
Yeah, it's not
and
the best.
I don't like it.
No.
I think it's not strong enough. Yes, he went through a lot of trauma, but to spite your father in this way is now becoming more damaging to you and to somebody you care about.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of got to get over that, sir. I'm sorry.
And your dad's now gone. So, I mean, there's nothing to prove anymore.
Like, right.
You've gotten to that point of you said your final piece.
He'll never know if you do
He'll
or
never
don't.
Know. But it was nice to say it as
right.
the last thing he heard from you. Absolutely. But you could turn that around. Like, come on.
Right. Especially given to where things get to by the end of episode 4. Kind of just have to, I think, take one for the team here because you fucked up. But So Daphne and Simon are going about this whole pretense, and it's doing exactly what they want it to. Daphne is getting tons of suitors. Simon doesn't have to worry about anybody barking up his tree. They attend events together. They get along well. They spar because she thinks he's gross and he thinks she's like prim. It's very Pride and Prejudice, to be honest. Like, if Mr. Darcy was a fuckboy, it would be like Pride and Prejudice exactly. So Anthony hates it. He's like, I don't like this. I like, you need to marry Burbrook. Simon eventually spills the beans about how Daphne knocked Burbrook out because he tried to accost her on the dark walk. And he's like, okay, well, you are not going to marry that man. It's like, good, thank you.
Right. Like, it sucks that that's what it took.
Yeah,
to
like,
happen,
obviously
but,
not.
Okay.
But, all right. And then, of course, Nigel Burbrook won't go quietly. He goes to the town council and is like, I actually already bought you. Somehow I have this marriage license that doesn't require anyone else's consent to obtain. So then Mama Bridgerton, whoa. I'm so fucking confused.
It's going to get
bad. I'm so confused. Mama Bridgerton has a great plan. She is like, we need to sink this engagement somehow. So she invites Nigel's mother over for tea. This woman, honestly, 5-star performance. I will never forget her or this scene for the rest of my life because she's so rude to Daphne. But like, in such a polite way. And then my favorite was when she left and Daphne was like, why the fuck did you do this to me? And she was like, oh, honey, like, I'm trying to help you. Like, here's what that was actually about.
Right.
Here's what we were doing.
Yeah, she said, you know, like, basically the washwomen come, like, her, you know.
Her maid. Her lady's maid.
Right. And she goes, the whole plan was to basically get them talking. So they're sitting there in the kitchen doing whatever.
Spilling
and
all the tea.
Getting all the tea. And now we can somehow get a lady. What the fuck is her name?
Burbrook?
No. Oh. Lady Whistledown to write about all this shit.
Yes, because they discover that Nigel has an illegitimate son by
a maid. Yeah, which is nuts.
Yeah. Like, who the hell? I mean, I guess he probably
not to
her.
Sound gross, not to sound really bad, but he definitely raped that maid.
Yeah. No, I mean, he had to have, or maybe she felt like she had to because of his position, which is still
yeah,
right,
the consensual but, line yeah, 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 was crossed.
Yeah,
sure,
I agree. I agree with that. And then sent her away and refuses to pay for the child, etc. So they leak that to Lady Whistledown, the Snowden of Regency era London. And
I really loved that scene, though, of yeah, just everybody in town talking about it and it just going mm-hmm, like, oh, yeah, the best.
So he's out and everybody's relieved about that. But then Prince Friedrich shows up.
Can I just tell you right off the bat, did you ever watch Unreal?
Yes.
Okay, so he was the guy in Unreal.
Oh, okay, because I thought he looked familiar. And I meant to go look him up on IMDb, and I just completely forgot.
Because they definitely gave him some prosthetic on his face.
I knew
but
him from something.
Yes. So he was the main, like, bachelor on Unreal.
Okay. Okay. Good. Yeah.
And I hated him in that. And I'm like, I'm going to hate him in this, too. I'm not a, like, just of the actor, I'm not a fan of him.
He seems so nice, though. This is the sad part, because he takes an immediate interest in
Daphne. He does seem genuine. I will say
that. Yeah. And he's so nice because, like, when they're talking about, like, she's like, oh, do you like it in Prussia or do you like it here? And he's like, well, I always thought England was a really nice place to raise a family. And I had a big family and I would love to have that if my wife wants it. He's very much the modern male of, I want to, you know, make you part of these decisions, too. And also, I don't want to presume that you've made a decision about me. And just because I'm a prince doesn't mean that I'm entitled to you. I'm still going to propose and, you know, whatever. So it's going to make it a little bit harder when she has to shut him down. But he was, I thought he was real nice.
No, he is nice. I just, there's something about the actor that throws me off, but.
Okay. So Simon decides at some point that he's done. What brings him to his breaking point? I haven't even been looking at my notes, really. Oh.
Oh, cool.
It's because,
oh.
Okay. I got it. So while Prince Friedrich is attempting to woo Daphne, who is just not having it because she still has Simon and she's starting to definitely get the warm.
Well, can we explain why the warm fuzzies?
Well, they definitely get stronger after a certain conversation on the promenade.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because this episode was funny to me because I never really thought about what sex education must have been like in the Regency era. Not great because...
I was going to say, was there any at all?
Yeah. I mean, there must not have been because all these girls are walking around talking about pregnancy as though it is literally a disease that you can catch from somebody and that you need to be married. Like, you can't get pregnant if you're not married.
Right. Like, how else does it happen? And Penelope's one of the main ones that wants to know.
Yes. I mean, people are not telling anyone like, how it works. And it's, like, improper to discuss. So when Mama Bridgerton talks to Daphne and is like, you need to marry your best friend. So Daphne's been rolling this idea around in her brain. And she says to Simon one day on the promenade, okay, my mom said I should be looking for my best friend. But, like, there's got to be something else that holds a marriage together. It can't just be about being with your best friend. There's got to be, like, something, you know, physical. Mm-hmm. And Simon's like, well, yeah, obviously there is. But I can't talk about it with you. And she's like, well, you're not really my suitor. We're just friends.
Yeah, so just
like,
tell
pretending.
Me.
So, like, yeah, you can tell me. So I thought he did a really great job of explaining masturbation to somebody who has never even remotely thought about doing something like this.
She probably obviously did not know the sensation, but it was definitely happening at that moment where she was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could see it just her acting skills. She was dripping. Dripping.
Yes. I love this actress. I don't know how to say her last name, but I think she's great.
Yeah, she was in Fair Play.
She's in a lot of things.
But I'm saying, like, we did Fair Play, and she was the main chick in Fair Play.
We did do Fair Play, yeah. So Simon's like, go home and try it tonight. Touch yourself. Which she does, and she's thinking about Simon while she's doing it. So,
like, I would be thinking about Simon.
Even though they've done nothing. They had, like, a gentle handhold in the art gallery. Right. And, like, that's literally what she's using to sustain. She must be so hard up for an orgasm because she's like, oh, my God, his hand touching
my
hand.
Well, I mean, they've danced. They've danced together.
Yeah, yeah. But it's definitely mostly about the sexual tension that's building. So she's, like, all in on Simon. But after that day at the promenade, Lady Danbury, like, smacks Simon with her cane mm-hmm. or her walking stick. And she's like, you son of a bitch. Like, if you are not serious about this girl, there is a prince ready
gonna take
and
her
willing
right
to
now.
Propose to her. So you need to back off if that is the case. So the next day, Daphne goes to meet up with him. And he's like, yeah, we're done here. I finished what I needed to finish up in London. I'm going to be leaving. We're not friends.
Like, yeah, very rude. Like, I mean,
really? Yes, I wrote in my notes, I'm like, he's being really rude mm-hmm. about this, and I don't know why.
Well, obviously, because he has feelings for her.
Yeah, but like,
he is very nasty about it.
And he could have just let her down more gently. Yeah, that's all.
But it was very matter of factly, like, well, I'm leaving, and this is done, and ta-ta.
Like, I've succeeded. Yep. Like, we both got what we wanted. The mamas have left me alone. And you now have a prince vying for your attention, so we're mm-hmm. done. And, like, he's got a good point, actually. I mean, that does all sound legit. And she can't really think of a good reason to convince him to stay.
Yeah.
So she is devastated by this and decides that she's just going to throw herself fully into getting with Prince Friedrich because that's her only other option. Which, like, she does.
Yeah,
I mean,
she does.
He's ready.
He's ready.
He's wet for her. Yep. So she barely has to do anything, really, to, like, get and hold his attention. But obviously, Simon kind of dawdles leaving town, and he's got this friend who is involved in a boxing organization or something that he's like, okay, well, like, I'll train you for this boxing match, and then I'll come to your boxing match. And Daphne and the prince are there as well. And they're, like, so distracted by each other mm-hmm. the whole time. It's just, like, very obvious that they're still into one another. And he's still under the facade that he's going to leave. But before he does, he sees a painting that him and Daphne had the little hand-holding moment
yes,
in front of.
Yes.
And he's like, maybe I should go say goodbye.
He also forgot that he requested the painting. The right. painting was, like, all the stuff that was being
he's
packed
like,
up. He's like,
here?
Why is this here? And the guy's like, you kind of asked for it specifically. And he's like, oh, fuck, okay.
Right, and it was really expensive to arrange. Yeah. So, like, I hope you knew what you were doing. So he shows up at this ball, and Daphne has just run away from Prince Friedrich, who is, like, 2 seconds away from proposing to her on the dance floor. And she is, like, having a moment. He's like, hey. And she's like, fuck, do you want? He's like, I came to say goodbye. And she's like, oh, okay, well, that's really unnecessary because you already told me to fuck off, essentially.
To fuck off, right?
So you can fuck off this time. And she starts running away from him. He goes after her. They end up in the garden in, like, an ensconced little
so
nook.
Fucking hot.
And he kisses her and he's like, oh shit, sorry. And she's like, I'm not, and just, like, attacks him. What was the with the dress? Because he's like,
he was feeling her up initially. Yes, I think so.
Okay.
But
because,
he initially went boobs, and he was, like, feeling her up immediately. And then, yeah, it just took a while to get that dress up. And he was,
yeah,
like,
well, there's, like, a lot of skirts going on. So I was just, like, are they going to fuck? Or is he just, like, touching? I'm just very confused. It was taking a while.
I thought it was a fingering thing. But then, okay. Again, I don't know.
I thought it was a fingering thing. You know, a classic fingering
thing. Maybe not. Fingering in the garden.
So... unfortunately, cockblock Anthony Bridgerton shows up at the exact wrong moment, sees them in this embrace.
And thinks that it's Simon that, like, attacked her, basically. And it's
no,
like,
it wasn't even that. It wasn't even that, though. Like, even if it was consensual, and this is the thing that Daphne kept saying, is, like, why do you keep putting all the blame on Simon? Like, I made the decision to be part of this, too. Women just don't have the agency. So, like, when something like this happens, it's the man that has to answer for it.
No, I get that. But the way he says it to her, he's like, he accosted you. And she's like, no. Like, you weren't here for the whole thing. Like, that's not how it went down. But, like, yeah, that's the initial reaction, that this man accosted her.
He knew that doing this was going to sully her reputation. So he demands that Simon marries Daphne. And he's like, oh, I can't, man. You know I can't.
And she's devastated because she is still not getting it.
She doesn't know why. Yeah. She doesn't understand, which is fair. And then it gets to the point where he's like, okay, fine. Well, if you won't marry her, then... we're going to have to duel.
Going to have to duel.
That's the time period.
This will end in
so
a duel.
So they agree to duel the next day. So they're running around arranging for this duel. Daphne is, like, beside herself because she just doesn't understand why
it has to end
of this needs to occur.
Yeah.
But then she realizes that Cressida must have seen them because Cressida makes a little snipey comment.
Yeah,
at
she goes,
her
"How
about
was your walk in the garden?
Catching a chill,
yeah,
in the garden." So she's like, "Oh shit! Well, now we do really have to get married because I'm gonna be fucked." So she gets on her horse and she gallops off to interrupt the duel. Almost gets shot because she's really smart. And then she pulls Simon aside and she's like, "Listen, Cressida saw us. You have to marry me." And he's like, "Look, I can't." She's like, "You would literally rather die."
Yeah, I mean,
than marry
great
me.
Point. Great point.
And he actually says, "I'm so sorry," or something to that effect of just like,
"Yeah.
Sorry, but yes, I would rather die than marry."
Like, talk about like, generational trauma. It's making you want to kill yourself
the wrong
over marrying
answer.
This girl. Like, that's.
Oh my
it's,
god.
It's rough. It's really rough.
Fucking insane.
He then explains to her.
He kind of explains.
Well, I mean, it's enough for her to...
He's like, "I can't have children. You want children. I can't give you children." Doesn't really explain why not.
Right, but I mean, he finally gives some type of context as to why he's being so standoffish about everything.
Right. It's not that I don't like you.
Right.
It's just that I can't marry you because I know that you want a family. Having a family is important to you.
And I can't have kids.
And I won't be able to give you that. So I'm not gonna ask you to make that sacrifice. So then he goes wandering back to duel with Antony, and she's like, no, there's no need for a duel.
We're getting married.
So I'm just interested about how she came to that
rather quickly.
From that. But also, like, he's not going to allow it. Like, he just said.
Yeah.
He just said that he couldn't ask her to make that sacrifice. Is he really going to accept that she is genuine in
I don't know,
sacrifice?
But for us, only covering the first four episodes, it was quite the cliffhanger. Because we couldn't go on to the next episode. I'm like, well, I can't, I'll just get confused.
I didn't think it was that big of a cliffhanger because we know that they end up
together. Oh, yeah,
but
that's just I guess in terms of what just transpired and her saying, "No, we're going to get married," and then the looks on their faces of like... And especially him, like, "I just told you, no."
Yeah, well, I honestly don't know where we go from here because we've kind of done all the legwork to mm-hmm. get to this point. And now we just have to bring Simon around on his trauma to marry her and be okay with it and even potentially be okay with having children. But the excitement of their fake courtship is over.
Yeah.
So, like, what is the next phase for this relationship? Do they actually get married right away? Or is it four more episodes until they actually get married? In which case, they have to worry about Cressida blabbing all over the fucking place. And then what's she going to tell the prince?
Good question. All of these questions are fantastic. And
Done.
I will say, though, he doesn't come back for season
Thank
two,
you.
No?
No, yeah, because I think the two of them don't. I think they probably go off on their own.
Because I knew it was just a big deal. I remember seeing like everything then, but like that it was a big deal that he
yes,
wasn't coming back.
I remember seeing that
so,
too.
Yeah, so I honestly couldn't even pinpoint what the rest of the storyline is going to have.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Together.
We just have a couple more people to discuss because we haven't gotten to the feather
interns
yet.
It's not a lot, but they are significant, so.
No, so... heads of household, Archibald and Portia are the parents. This mother, this mama, is like giving the mamas a bad
she
name.
She is. This family reminds me
she
of
sucks.
Like the evil stepmother and
I was just going to say, I don't know if this was intentional, but Cinderella vibes.
Like Penelope
all over the place.
Is Cinderella, although technically.
Yes.
Marina could be too.
Yeah, no, but I got the vibe like they were setting Penelope up to be a Cinderella character because she's got the two older sisters. They're not ugly, but they're kind of awkward and gangly, and one of them faints in front of the queen. So
yeah,
like,
they're
it's just kind of a hot mess for
and
the two of them.
I don't see them as particularly evil, just the mom, really.
No, but they are like a little catty.
Yeah,
I think,
and they're clicky, and it gives off that, because they also, their style as well is very outlandish.
Yellow is their signature color for some reason.
It's very...
I don't know why.
They stand out at the parties, that's for sure.
They absolutely...
But go on, I'm sorry.
No, that's
point.
Totally fine. So, in the first episode, Marina Thompson is a friend of Archibald's daughter who wants to enter society. So, they ship her off and let Portia add her to the list of girls she has to present. And Marina is like, beautiful girl. She is attracting all these men. She has more suitors than Daphne initially. Mm-hmm. And it seems like she's going to make a real good match for somebody, until it is discovered that Marina is with child. And at first I was really confused because they keep looking at her bed sheets. And I'm like, why?
Yes.
I assumed that they had something on them. I did not think that there was so much kerfluffle because there was nothing on them.
Same, because I'm sitting there and I'm like, wait a minute. She didn't bleed on them, so it's fine. They're not dirty. Like,
right. What are they looking
not
at?
Not even thinking that, like, oh, the reason that since she's been there, she hasn't gotten a period yet.
Sure. It would have been better, I think, if they had showed them, like, checking the sheets multiple times, like,
right.
daily, to be like, this is weird. But it's, like, one time, one day, and then they're like, you're definitely pregnant because we checked your sheets today and there's no blood. And it's like, okay, but maybe her period's just a little bit late. I don't know.
Right. And again, age.
So
how old is she? We don't know.
15.
She could be delayed.
She looks kind of young.
Who knows?
Right. So this starts the whole, like, kerfuffle about the sex education and, like, how did she get pregnant? She tells Penelope that she had a boyfriend back home that she was banging mm-hmm. before he went off to fight in Spain for reasons.
For reasons.
We don't know. And she still writes to him. She shows Penelope all the love letters. And so Penelope gets very invested in their love story. And she's like, you have to tell him.
Right.
Tell him that you're pregnant. He'll come back and, like, you know, whatever. He doesn't respond.
And really quick, that was one of the things Penelope yeah. had harped on for a little bit in the beginning, where she's like, how mm-hmm. did she get this? Like, how does it happen? Whatever. And then that's when Marina says, well, it's love. Love does this. And she's like, and I think that
right.
gets in her head that.
Yes, but also she's like, that doesn't make any
right.
sense, because my parents have three kids and there's no love there.
And there's, and like, she'll sneak to hang out with Marina. And at one point, like, she gets in trouble.
Yes.
And the mom is like, I
oh, yeah.
told you.
She's like, it's catching.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I was like, wait, where's. I told you not to comport with the expectant. And I'm like, she doesn't have fucking leprosy.
Yeah.
She's not going to give it to her. Like, it just, it was so wild.
But I think that's what they want their daughters to believe, so that they don't associate with women who are having sex out of wedlock. It's not that they think they're, I mean.
No, I get that. But
their
the way she, just
sex.
The way she worded it, like, don't convert with the expectant.
Yeah, she's ridiculous. She words a lot of things in bizarre ways. So she also meddles in this relationship.
This because, is sad.
Yeah, this is very much the Notebook happening. So Marina doesn't receive any letters for a while. And then she finally receives a letter from Spain from George. And he is disavowing the entire relationship, wants nothing to do with her, and is like, fuck you, I don't want anything to do with your child, like, it's not mine, blah, blah, blah. So she is devastated. But we find out that this letter is actually a forgery and was done by Portia Featherington and her lady's maid, Mrs. Varley, who is a
great handwriting
bad
now.
Gossip.
Yeah, she's a bad gossip and she can forge very well, apparently.
Yeah, because, like, a lot of people talk shit in the show and, like, share tea, but I feel like Mrs. Varley is in it for the wrong reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's like, you're locked up in here because you made bad choices, so you only have yourself to blame. And she's like, okay, show some more compassion.
Yeah, and what's it to you, honestly?
Right.
It doesn't affect you in any way, so whatever.
So poor Portia Featherington. She has three daughters. Penelope's not really interested in finding a man necessarily because she's hung up on Colin. Her two oldest daughters are just really not presenting well in society. And then she had this fourth girl who turns out to be pregnant. And it's like, what is this woman to do? But one of the daughters, Philippa, the middle daughter, mm-hmm. it's Prudence, and then Philippa, and then Penelope. Philippa is approached by Albion Finch, who is, like,
kind of
a gangly dude,
yeah.
but also seems like a nice enough guy and seems to be interested in her. But he is scared off promptly by Archibald Featherington, and it's like, what the fuck, dude?
Right.
You had one chance, and you blew it. So Portia's like, something's amiss here. I don't like the smell of this. So she and Mrs. Varley go into his private office and start rifling through his desk. She figures out he's in a shit ton of gambling debt. So
yep.
he has spent all of the girls' dowries, every last penny, on all sorts of stuff, which is why they couldn't send Marina away when they figured out she was pregnant because he's indebted to her father, and why he scared off Albie and Finch because he can't afford yep. to pay a dowry to have somebody marry her. So they're kind of fucking screwed. And we'll see.
Yeah, it's not a good look, but yeah, and hopefully... I mean, that is really fucked up. And then he starts to cry.
Oh my God, he totally breaks down. That was great too.
He breaks down, starts to cry, and she is, yeah, she's a horrible woman, but I will give this actress credit where credit is due. She just has this straight face, like, you pathetic son of a bitch. And she just kind of does that, like, barely tap yeah, him they're on there. The back when he, like, they're you there.
Piece of shit.
Like, you're a fucking asshole. They do get Marina into, or one or two of them, I think it is. And who comes to dance with her? Who dances with
Lord
Marina?
Lord Rutledge?
One of the Bridgertons.
Oh. Well, Colin saves her from her dance with Lord Rutledge. Yes. Because they're trying to marry this girl off the quickest they can because she's not showing yeah. it. She's a little chunky, but she's not really showing. And Portia focuses on this Lord Rutledge because he is an older man. He needs an heir for his family line, and therefore he's not going to ask too many questions if she gets pregnant immediately and has a right. child in like 6 months instead of nine. So
yeah,
and could potentially be a black child, we don't know.
very well
so
but yeah, so that was a gross encounter yeah. as well. Just this older creep being like, oh,
he's acting like he's purchasing her, which again made me a little bit uncomfortable due to the fact that she is a black woman. But the way he was yes. like, I want to see your teeth, show me your smile, show me how you twirl, it felt like he was buying her at an auction, which yep. I guess is kind of how it works yeah. in this era, but it felt particularly gross for this situation. And yeah, it was so nasty. Colin notices that she's struggling with this guy, and he goes over and rescues her, and they dance. So now Marina has been become kind of fixated on this idea that, oh, she could marry Colin instead. And he's young, he's eager to please, he'd make a great dad, yada yada. And Penelope is just fucking devastated by that.
I know, I felt so bad when she saw that. That was right. sad.
Yeah, because like, she knows if that's how it has to go, then that's how it has to go. And how she feels about Colin isn't really going to matter.
Right.
Like, it's more important that Marina get positioned for the rest of her life, lest she end up in the slums that Portia took her to.
Right.
To scare her straight.
Exactly. Also, at the balls, I don't understand the dance card they have to wear around their wrist.
Oh, yeah. And this is actually a thing that they had back in the
where,
days.
Where, like, whatever guy dances with them has to sign the card?
Yeah.
What does that do?
You can fill up your dance so that you dance with all the men, you know? Like, you can fill up your dance card with one man, but you could also, like, give everybody a turn. I don't know.
Interesting.
It's all very proper.
It also seemed very, like, they're for sale.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's gross because they're walking around gorgeous dresses, jewelry, the whole bit, and then they got this card on their wrist, like, here, buy me.
Right. It's like the cows when they have like the clips on their ears yes. and stuff.
They're their tagged. Numbers. It's very sad.
Yeah.
I'll take number 43.
I mean, it is nice that Mama Bridgerton is so focused on her daughters finding love matches and her children finding love matches because.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that is such a bummer about the Jane Austen novels is that all the moms are fixated on just finding the best match in terms of status and money. And that's yeah. all that seemed to be important to these people. And whether or not Bridgerton is less accurate because they are allowed to focus on a love match, it is kind of a relief to maybe be able to look at it from that direction instead of just, oh, how can I further my position in society with my marriage?
Yeah.
So, okay, that's all I have, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think we covered...
I think we did a really good job.
Yeah, with all the... I mean, it was a matter of introducing the characters. We really had to do that.
Yes.
And then that helped us. It helped the flow of everything.
Yes. And if we missed any little details or parts of the story, I think we'll be able to bring them in the next episode because everything's going to be tying up in a way yeah. and we can just kind of refer back. But we're setting the stage here. Overall impressions, I don't hate it like I hate Emily in Paris.
Like I told you, I don't know how I feel yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily hate it, but it's not a go-to. Like, I'm not sitting here like, can't wait to watch the next four episodes.
Same, I have a vague interest in what happens. So like, now that we've started, I'm glad we're gonna finish. But yeah. I think, like, I don't 100% get the hype, I guess.
I don't either. That's exactly it. I don't. And I think it's because it's just really the people who read the books probably are
maybe
the ones that are. But yeah. No, again, it's not the worst thing in the world. But again, it's not a go-to binge that I would have picked randomly on my own.
No. Maybe it'll get steamier, but like, I also feel like I was promised more sex.
I mean, maybe that was just the introductory, you know? Like, now maybe that she knows how to masturbate and stuff, like,
right,
maybe
that opens a lot of doors.
Yeah.
The problem was that she was never going to do anything outside of marriage, because as much as she might want to, I think she is too concerned about her reputation to like allow that to happen. But I guess we'll see. So maybe they have to get married immediately so they can start boning.
I did love that scene though, because it's her prepping where it's like by candlelight, and then she just has the long gown on and she's laying in bed. She has to ride it all the way up.
Yeah.
God, if only they had vibrators then, man. She would be...
Oh, man. That's all you need, really.
It really is. But yeah, so I even wrote in my notes a couple of times, too, that, like, I cannot keep up with all these people. But I am kind of glad that the seasons are kind of narrowed down to a specific couple.
Yes.
So it just makes it a little easier to keep track. Mm-hmm. Not that we don't need to know the names of everybody else, but at least... the core people we can get down.
Right. We're starting to learn those names.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I cannot keep up with the Bridgerton brothers. Like, there's too many of them.
And they all look so similar that it's really difficult, but I'm starting to get it.
Yeah, I'm starting to get it too. And so that was episode 1-4, guys. Season 1. Next week, we will finish the season, episodes 5-8. And yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to when we're caught up and we just do an episode a week.
I know, that'll be nice.
Cool. It'll be way
not
more
as overwhelming.
Easier to, yeah, way easier to recap. But yeah. And hopefully our minds change about it a little bit and it gets a little more exciting for us. But we shall see.
We shall see.
But yeah, you know the drill, everyone. You know where to find us. Socials, website, all that fun stuff. And is there anything you'd like to add?
April 25th is World Penguin Day.
Oh.
We love the penguins.
Very cute.
Love how they march. And then we've got some more relevant to our topic here. Let's see. We have, it's National Lingerie Day.
Ooh.
And it is also Love Your Thighs Day.
Wow, those go together, I think.
I think they do. Yes. And then just for funsies, for like female empowerment, it's International Financial Independence Awareness Day. So ladies, be financially independent. It can only help you. Especially if you live in Regency-era London.
Alrighty, so until next time.